Turn your Bibles this morning to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we'll be reading verses 16 through 19. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In the New Testament, you come to Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, then 1 and 2 Thessalonians. If you get to Hebrews, you've gone just a little bit too far. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, if you'll please stand. Honor of reading of God's Word this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I'll read the even verses of 16 and 18. If you'll join with me on verses 17 and 19, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. And let's pray this morning. Father, again, it's so good to open up this good book. How worthy your name is to be praised. And Father, thank you for the singing that we've done already this morning. Again, be with the special, prepare our hearts. Father, we need you. In these days and times, Lord, we need your Spirit to be upon this place. Bless the messenger. Bless us as we hear. Help us to have listening ears. In your name we pray. Amen.
On life's pathway I am never lonely. My Lord is with me, my Lord divine. Ever-present guide, I trust Him only. No longer lonely, for He is mine. No longer lonely, no longer lonely. For Jesus is a friend of friends to me. No longer lonely, no longer lonely. For Jesus is a friend of friends to me. I shall not be lonely in my sorrow. He will sustain me until the end. Darkest night he turns to brightest morrow. No longer lonely, he is my friend. No longer lonely, no longer lonely. For Jesus is the friend of friends to me. No longer lonely, no longer lonely. For Jesus is the friend of friends to me. I shall not be lonely in the valley, though shadows gather, I will not fear. He has promised ever to uphold me, no longer lonely, He will be near. No longer lonely, no longer lonely. For Jesus is the friend of friends to me. No longer lonely, no longer lonely. For Jesus is the friend of friends to me.
Man, all right, very good. Appreciate that, man. Appreciate the good song this morning. I was going to say earlier, and it slipped my mind, when we had prayer time, we've got a couple of fellas out preaching today. Brother Johnson, Larry Johnson, is out in Burlington and Heritage Baptist Church speaking all day. And Brother Gene Anderson, the church he used to go to up north up there, is without a pastor. They called him, asked him to fill in this morning. I wanted to pray for them a little bit ago when we started the service, but that's all right. We'll do it now. It's about the time that they're up preaching anyway. And we'll ask the Lord's blessing on Larry and Brother Gene when we pray here in just a moment. Verse 19 is where we're going to really center our attention this morning. Quench not the Spirit. I want to talk to you on the work of the Holy Spirit. So let's pray today. Father, we do thank you for the privilege to bring the Word of God to people this morning. And I pray that you will give us liberty of thought and mind and of mouth, Lord, that we might speak clearly. And God, more than that, that the Holy Spirit, we're going to speak about Him today, that He would speak through me, into the words that we're going to say, and into our hearts and minds. I need help. People need help. All of us need to listen and learn this morning and have your Spirit speak to us. We pray also for Brother Larry, Brother Gene, these good men. I pray, Father, that you'll use them and help them to feel at home and make them a blessing to the people that they'll preach to today. And we'll thank you for that as well. Thank you, Lord, that we can call on you, because without you, we can do nothing. We realize that, acknowledge it, and look to you for help this morning. In Christ's name, and amen. Now, if you were to ask just a random person on the street to name something they knew about or from the Bible, one of the answers that you might get would be, well, that's where you get the Ten Commandments. You might get that answer from somebody, just a random person on the street, because the Bible is known as the source for the Ten Commandments, and a lot of people have at least a basic knowledge of what they say. And maybe not be able to quote them more or less, but they'll usually come up with the one about lying and the one about killing and something, all that type of thing. There's been a movie or two about the Ten Commandments, I think, through the years, a movie about Moses, and maybe somebody has seen those movies and their knowledge of the Ten Commandments is limited to what they learned from the movie. But my point is, most folks identify, if they heard about the Ten Commandments, they identify the Ten Commandments with the Bible. Okay, they don't identify it with the Constitution of the United States or anything else. They identify it with the Bible. Now, I make that point because this section of the New Testament, this section of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting at verse number 16 and going down through about the end of the chapter here, is kind of like the Ten Commandments of the New Testament. Now, the Ten Commandments that most people are familiar with are in the book of Exodus. You know that, Exodus chapter 20, when God began to give Moses the law there in the wilderness as the children of Israel were on their journey. These are the Ten Commandments of the New Testament. I want to speak about one of them this morning. They're very good. Man, you need to read through them sometime and just kind of meditate. Actually, you could preach a whole series on every verse in this passage, okay? But I want you to listen carefully because I want you to understand the setting of what's going on here when Paul writes this to this church, all right? He started the church in Thessalonica on his second missionary journey. And then he wrote this letter to them just maybe a little less than, maybe 2 years at the most later, maybe less than 2 years later. So you've got this church in Thessalonica and basically made up of young Christians who have been saved probably 2 years or less, okay? Maybe there might be somebody in the mix that was saved longer, but most of them that made up the church were saved for 2 years or less. And so he's writing this letter to them, and he comes to the end of his letter, and he starts listing these basic, simple commands to this new group of Christians. And really, folks, they are simple. They are elementary. But more than that, they are foundational, okay? They are elements of Christian living that young Christians need to nail down. It's kind of like, you know, Paul is saying, just rapid fire order here. You know, you ever penned a letter? And, you know, sometimes I'll do this when I write Mike Hagee down there in Missouri, and I'll, you know, write a 2-page letter, but I realize I got to quit. It's time to sign off on this thing. And as I approach the end, I start kind of writing fast. And that's kind of what Paul's doing here. It's kind of like bang, 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 bang. And he gives these things and he says, get these things down. And what they will do is they'll provide a foundation for you. Now you're a young Christian. And this will provide a strong, sturdy foundation for you to build a Christian life on. Now, we have talked before about the importance of a strong foundation. Okay, that goes without saying. So I'm not going to reiterate that this morning. Get the foundation right. Get the foundation square, and the building becomes all the more stable and secure if the foundation is right. So this is foundational. So Paul is saying it's important for us to get the setting here. You got a group of new Christians saved and baptized and added to the church. And so now what? What do we do? So Paul says, get these foundational elements settled and structured into your life and begin to build on them. Now, folks, wait a minute. You say, well, Pastor, not everybody in this room this morning has been saved for less than 2 years. In fact, some have been saved for many, many years. Yes, folks, but understand, if these are foundational, that means they are necessary not only when you're a brand new Christian, they're necessary if you've been saved for 50 years. Right? A foundation is important if the building is 2 years old or 20 years old. Foundation is important if the building is 5 years old or 50 years old. So this is not bypassing people who've been saved for longer than, 2 years. My emphasis is these are things that Paul said to new Christians, you've got to get really structured in. These things have got to be built into your life. Okay? And you come down to verse number 19. I'm not going to mention the others because you come down to verse number 19, the fourth one on the list. In verse 19, four words long. I mean, it's just like he's in a hurry almost. Quench not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. So to this new group, this group of new Christians, and it's a new group of Christians, group of new Christians, Paul writes to them and he says, don't quench the Spirit. Now, I got four things to say this morning about the work of the Holy Spirit, and I got a very short time to say it, so I'm going to go fast, all right? Listen carefully. I don't think this is going to be a... This is not, by the way, there's nothing new. It's all in this book right here, okay? Just a reiteration, okay, of some things that we need to think about. Number one, I want you to understand they had a relationship with the Holy Spirit. They had a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Paul was writing to people who had a relationship with the Holy Spirit in two ways. Their relationship in two ways. Number one, they had a relationship with the Holy Spirit through personal salvation. Your relationship with the Holy Spirit becomes personal the moment that you get saved. Okay? As soon as these people in Thessalonica got saved, the Bible teaches us that the Holy Spirit took up residence in their bodies. Now, I know this is old hat to many of you, but it may not be old hat to everybody. Now, later on, Paul would write to the Corinthian church, and this is what he would say, 1 Corinthians 3:16. Listen carefully. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? Now, listen to this. And that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. He writes that to Christians. Don't you understand? That God's Spirit lives in you. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? Listen to what he said to the Ephesians in chapter 1, verse 13. Here's what he says, talking about Jesus, in whom ye also trusted, Christ, after that ye had the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, listen, ye were sealed with the Spirit, Holy Spirit, of promise. They received the Holy Spirit. The moment anybody in this New Testament day and age bows their head and heart and comes in repentance and faith to Jesus Christ for salvation, at that moment, instantaneously, the Spirit of God moves in the body. Takes up residence in the body. Okay? And, you know, there's not some spooky, weird, you don't get zapped with electricity. Okay? You're not some kind of zzzz. That's not it. Okay? The Holy Spirit quietly takes up residence in your body. Listen to what Romans chapter 8 and verse number 9 says. This is the other side of the coin. Paul said, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. What's he mean? He means if the Holy Spirit doesn't live in you, you're not saved. That's what he means. Okay? Saved people have the Holy Spirit of God living in their body. Unsaved people don't. So I'm just saying this morning, they had a relationship with the Holy Spirit through their personal salvation. When these people who lived in Thessalonica, and you can go back to Acts chapter 17, and you can read about when they heard the gospel message. Paul came in there preaching. They heard the gospel. They repented and trusted Christ. Boom! At that moment, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in their body. Okay? At that moment. Now, they had a relationship with the Holy Spirit through their personal salvation, but more than that, along with that, not more than that, but along with that, they had a relationship with the Holy Spirit through their public worship. Through their public worship. So what do you mean, Brother Angel? The Holy Spirit works in the public worship services of a New Testament church. He works in those services. Now, corporately, okay, if I'm saved, I'm saved. So the Spirit of God lives in me because I'm saved. Individually, I got a relationship with the Holy Spirit. He is in my body. But when I come here on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, when I come here for a revival conference, missions conference, whatever, when I come to a public worship service, a Faith Baptist church, I need to understand that the Holy Spirit is here to work in our midst. You see, together we are bonded here. as members in this assembly. We've been saved by the shed blood of the Lamb of God, baptized to identify with Jesus, joined together to honor and obey God as members of this local assembly, and the Spirit of God works. He comes to work in our public worship services. And I have a Bible for that. Seven times in Revelation 2 and 3, Jesus wrote a letter to seven different churches, right? You've probably read that. Seven letters He wrote to seven different real local churches over there in Asia Minor. And in each letter, all seven of them, not one was left out, all seven of these letters, in each letter, this is what Jesus said, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Holy Spirit saith unto the churches." Did you hear that? He says, if you've got an ear, if you're listening, you need to be careful and listen for what the Holy Spirit says unto the churches. Now, folks, He didn't say that one time. He said that seven times. That's found in Revelation 2, verses 7, 11, 17, and 23. It's found in Revelation 3, verses 6, 13, and 22. No matter what condition, and by the way, those churches were in all kinds of conditions spiritually. Some were alive, some were dead. And He said to all seven of them, He said, you listen carefully to hear what the Holy Spirit says to the churches. Faith Baptist Church, this assembly of born-again, baptized believers, when we meet together in a public worship service, the Spirit of God comes to speak to our hearts. We have a relationship with the Holy Spirit here in this church. We're builded together, as the Bible says, for an habitation of God through His Spirit. So, this church in Thessalonica, they got a church there, and it's a pretty new church, pretty new Christians. They had a relationship with the Holy Spirit. They had a relationship with the Holy Spirit through their personal salvation. They had a relationship with the Holy Spirit through their public worship services. So you got something going on, or you got potentially two areas going on in a person's life where the Spirit of God has a relationship with them. You've got an individual relationship, and you've got a corporate relationship where the Holy Spirit comes to work. You with me so far? All right, number two. The Holy Spirit works like a fire. Look at the verse, folks. Look at verse number 19. Quench not. Now, when you hear that word quench, what comes to your mind? Putting out a fire. Quench. The word quench means to extinguish. It means to put out, to check, to stifle. That's what the word quench means. That's what you do to a flame when you have a birthday cake with birthday candles and you blow them out, you quench the fire. You blow it out, unless you get those trick candles and they come back to, you know, they come back to life, right? And I always love to do that with young children. Boy, they get excited about that. That's what happens with the tiki torches. You know, some people have decks, and then they get these tiki torches, and they set them around the outdoors, you know, in summertime with this stuff that's supposed to keep the mosquitoes away. Yeah, right. Okay. And those fierce dive bombers this year, my goodness, they're hungry, aren't they? They're everywhere. And so, you know, the end of the night, the party's over, the time on the deck is done, and it's time to put the tiki torches out. So you take that little cap. Sometimes it's, what, bamboo. Sometimes it's metal. You stick it on top of the flame, and you quench the tiki torch. It's what happens at the outdoor campfire when you fired up some wood and some coals and you got some hot dogs and some marshmallows and you had yourself a good time out there roasting those things. Now the party is over, time to go to bed or time to leave the park. The right thing to do is to what? Throw some dirt, throw some water on the fire and quench it. The Holy Spirit works like a fire. Quench not the Spirit. This is not the only place where the Holy Spirit is referred to with the symbolism of fire. Matthew 3:11. This is what John the Baptist said about Jesus. He that cometh after me shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. In Acts chapter 2, when those 120 disciples were in the upper room and the Spirit of God came in power upon them, there were cloven tongues of fire that sat upon their head. Because that's one of the ways the Holy Spirit works. He works like a fire. Now stop and think, folks. It doesn't take rocket science. What does a fire do? A fire lights. A fire heats. I told this story. I'm going to take a minute. I've got to tell it in a hurry. When I was at the boys' ranch, Mike gets this brilliant idea. We're on the mountain in Tennessee there, and we're always 10 degrees colder in the mountain than they are in the valley. And Mike gets this idea to go on a camp out in January. And so I guess probably when you got 13 boys, you find something to do, a lot of the, you know, your hoodlums that you're trying to take care of. So we go out and we clear some ground, and we're going to have a camp out. We got great big rocks, and we made this great big campfire. And it got down to like 8 degrees, 18 or 8, either 8 or 18 degrees at night. And we had the fire roaring, you know, and man, we got there singing songs and having some devotions with Mike with us and talking around the campfire. And so then it was time to go to bed. So we all get in our sleeping bags, and we pull right up next to those rocks that are hot, right? Get some heat. And man, I'm telling you what, you know, it wasn't long, everybody was asleep. And in the middle of the night, fire's out, you know, fire's died out. And boy, it's just cold. I mean, it's cold. And Mike says, "Boys, the fire's going out. Somebody get up and throw some wood on it." Well, we might be hoodlums, but we're not idiots, okay? You know, so we're thinking, hey, it's warm in this bag. It's cold out there. So nobody moved. I'm not kidding you. This is honest to God truth. There's no embellishment. Not 30 seconds passed before a bobcat screeched. You ever heard a bobcat? Sound like a woman that's just been, won the lottery or something. About 10 of us were out of that bag, man, putting wood on that fire. I'm not kidding. We jumped out there throwing. Why? Because we wanted the light, the fire, the heat, but the light. So they throw the bobcat away. Shy the bobcat away. So a fire lights. A fire heats. A fire consumes. A fire purifies. Does it not? A fire melts. I'm not going to preach all of those. You get the picture. Fire, listen, works. Fire works. If we started a fire in this building, you know, we wouldn't just all stand around just because, oh, that's a fire, it'll go out. No, a fire works. Okay? So the Holy Spirit works like a fire. I have a relationship with the Holy Spirit in my personal life because He lives in my body. I have a relationship with the Holy Spirit when I come to the public worship services of my New Testament church, and the Holy Spirit works like a fire. So He lights and He burns and He heats and He melts and He consumes and He purifies because fire works. Fire works individually in us. Fireworks corporately in our assembly. People, listen, the Holy Spirit is not idle. The Holy Spirit has a job to do. He has a ministry in and among God's people. We're not talking here about a lifeless idol. We're not talking about an idol with eyes that don't see and ears that don't hear and lips that don't speak and hands that don't help, and feet that don't move, and a heart that doesn't care, and a mind that can't think. We're talking about the Spirit of God, the third person of the Godhead, as much God as God the Father is God, as much God as God the Spirit is God. Don't you think for one minute that the Spirit of God doesn't work, that He is not active. He lights, He heats, He consumes, He purifies, He melts, because He's like a fire. A fire works. So they had a relationship with the Holy Spirit through their personal salvation and with their public worship services. The Holy Spirit works like a fire. Number three, this is amazing to me. I still find this amazing. Number three, Christians can hinder and halt the work of the Holy Spirit. We can hinder and halt the work of the Holy Spirit. Paul told these new Christians, don't quench the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. Don't extinguish the Spirit. Don't put out the Spirit's work. Don't check the Spirit. Don't stifle the Spirit. Don't choke the Holy Spirit. Hey, new Christian, this is foundational to your building a Christian life. You've got to do it. You've got to put this into foundation. Don't quench the... Folks, it's impossible to build a Christian life without the ministry and work of the Holy Spirit. Impossible. So He says, build this in. Put it in the foundation. This is the Ten Commandments of the New Testament. This is so pertinent, so important to New Testament Christianity. Now listen, there's no way that a Christian can eliminate the Holy Spirit. That's not happening. He's an eternal part of the unchanging Godhead. But people, we can quench His work in us and among us. We can. That's what He told us not to do. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't stifle Him. Don't choke Him. Don't check Him out, man. You got to have His help. Do you remember the Old Testament, the Old Testament economy with the Jewish people, nation of Israel? Remember they had the tabernacle and the temple for places of worship? Remember that? Remember the altar there? And the Bible says that it was the priests, now watch this, it was the priests' duty. They brought the sacrifices to the altar, and the sacrifices were burnt on the altar. So if the sacrifices are burnt, what's on the altar? Fire. So you got this fire on the altar, and the people are bringing the sacrifices, and it was the priest's duty, it was the priest's job to carefully keep the fire burning continually on that altar. Here's your Bible verse. Leviticus 6:13. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. That's what he said. And priests, that's your duty. It's your duty. Are you in the priestly lineage? The tribe of Levi? Serving at the tabernacle, serving at the temple. Are you a priest? Your job, keep the fire burning. It'll never go out. Keep it burning. Ladies and gentlemen, do you understand in this New Testament day and age that you and I, saved people, are priests? Hey, I don't have somebody I go to. I don't have a man that I go to confess my sins to. I don't have a man pray for me. Now, I'm not saying in the sense of, hey, brother, would you pray for me about this? That's different. I'm talking about a man pray for God in my behalf, between me and God. You and I are priests. And guess what, folks? You know what Paul is saying here? It's no different than the priest in the Old Testament. You're a priest. I'm a priest. You're a priest. You're saved. You're a priest. You're a priest. You're a priest. You know what your job is, priest? Keep the fire burning. Keep the fire burning. It's your job. That's the opposite of what? Don't quench the Spirit. It's the opposite. You turn that thing around, don't quench the Spirit. Turn it around by turning the negative into a positive. What you get is, keep the fire burning. Aid the Holy Spirit. Assist the Holy Spirit. Encourage the Holy Spirit. Help the Holy Spirit. Because you've got a relationship with Him. Personally through your salvation, you've got a relationship with Him as a member of a local New Testament church, and the Holy Spirit comes to work in you individually, and He comes to work in the body corporately when Christians get together for a public worship service. Don't quench the Spirit. Let Him work. Let Him burn. Let Him purify. Let Him melt. Let me ask you a question. Who likes to be melted? I don't enjoy being melted. You enjoy being? I don't enjoy being melted. It's not comfortable to be melted. Purifies. You know how purifies silver and gold? Precious metal? Goes through the fire. But that's what the Holy Spirit comes to do. And God says when you're having like your Bible time at home, or you're riding in the car and you're praying, the Spirit of God's ministering to your heart, and the Spirit of God, you know, says to you, do this, do that, change this, change that, be this, be that way, pray for that person, do this for this person, hand that person the gospel tract. He said, Don't choke him. Fan the flame. Let it. What do you do when you want to get the fire going? Fan the flame. And that's what he's saying here. Encourage, assist. Now let me ask you a question. What quenches a fire? Water, right? Dirt. Things like that. Because there's one thing a fire must have to burn. What's that? What is that, folks? Oxygen, right? Air. You know, you get a charcoal grill. I still cook with a charcoal grill. I've used gas grills in the past, but it's just my charcoal. Oh, man. And I cheat because I get it going with the propane tank, you know. And then I turn it off and then got to go. Those coals get hot. Pretty soon you got flame. I don't want to cook my burger over flame. I don't want to do that. I'll cook my burger over heat. So that grill has what? Vents. You close the vents, cuts off the airflow. What happens to the flame? Goes out. Stops. I got a wood stove. Use it in the wintertime. Throw some wood in there. It's got two vents in the front. It's got a damper in the stovepipe. Late at night, want the fire to go out. Close the damper, close the vents, shut the stove up tight. Come back the next morning, I've got a charred piece of wood in there because the fire went out. What'd you do? I quenched it. I quenched it. And that's what Paul is saying here. He is saying, friend, Christian, look, this is foundational. You've got to, look, it was the Holy Spirit that started the work of God in you. It's the Holy Spirit that's going to continue the work of God in you. The Holy Spirit that started the work of God in you is the same Spirit that you need to keep the work of God going in you. And you can't, and folks, you can't deny this. Even those of you saved as children, but especially those of you saved later in life, when I was saved at 18, so if you're later than me or earlier than me, it doesn't matter. When the Spirit of God brings you under conviction and you see your need for salvation and you trust Christ as your Savior, buddy, don't tell me there wasn't something going off inside of you. Man. Things started changing. Maybe they don't change as much when you're 6 as when you're 18. I understand that. But buddy, there's an excitement. There's a newness. I'm saved. I belong to God. I'm going to heaven. And it's the Spirit of God that gets that fire burning in your heart. There's that enlightening. There's that heating up. There's that being consumed. There's that being melting. It's purifying. And the Lord, and Paul is saying, you're new Christians. And just a few months ago, when you got saved, the Spirit of God started working in your heart and your life like a fire. When you began to assemble as a church, the Spirit of God was there to work like a fire. Don't put that out. Don't shut it down. Don't close the dampers. Don't close the vents. Keep the air flowing. Keep that fire burning. You're a priest now. Keep the fire burning on the altar. You with me this morning? Quench not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. They had a relationship with the Holy Spirit through their personal salvation, their public worship. The Holy Spirit works like a fire. Christians can hinder and halt the work of the Holy Spirit. Sure we can. Individually and corporately. I'm done with this point. What is His work's purpose? What is His work's purpose? Well, His work's purpose is different in two ways. Because there's two kinds of people in the world. There's lost people and saved people. Now, with a lost person, a person who's not saved, the Spirit of God works to draw them to Christ. Can you stand there, bud? If this man's lost, the Spirit of God comes to him, maybe through circumstances, maybe through situations. You know, we have knocked on doors of people in this area and started talking with them and then say to them, look, can I show you some verses in the Bible about how to know for sure that you're going to heaven someday? And that person says, you know what? My best friend died. My best friend at work died this week. I was just wondering about that. Sometimes it's situations, sometimes it's circumstances, sometimes it's a gospel tract, sometimes it's a preaching message somewhere in a church service, and the Spirit of God starts to work on that lost person's heart, and the Spirit of God attempts to show them that they're a sinner and that they need Christ, and the Spirit of God draws them and 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 draws them to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. And if you're here this morning and you're not saved, that's what the Spirit of God does in your heart. The Spirit of God's working in your heart to draw you to Christ. Now, the devil wants to do everything in the world to discourage you from that. He'll get you dealing with a bunch of side issues to keep you from dealing with salvation. Well, what about, you know, over there the Bible says, no. That's sidebar right now. The main thing right now is, are you saved? Are you saved? The Spirit of God draws you, thank you, Luke, for salvation. Thank you. So now, what about for those of us who are saved? How does He work in us? Well, let me ask you a question. When you had the lost person, the Holy Spirit of God's work centered around who? Somebody heard the whispers. Jesus, right? Okay. So bring the sinner to, guess what, Christian? The work that the Holy Spirit's trying to do in me and you still centers around Jesus. But He's not trying to bring us to Jesus for salvation. He's trying to bring us to Jesus for sanctification. To become more and more like Jesus. So let me ask you a question. Is the Spirit of God working in your life? That's a fair question. It's not a condemning question. It's a fair question. Is the Spirit of God working in your life? Well, I don't know. Let me ask you a question. You think Jesus has any interest in the Bible? You think Jesus has any interest in the Bible? Yeah. Do you? That book stayed closed the last 7 days. Last time you picked it up was church on Sunday. You have any interest? Let me ask you a question. Do you think Jesus has any interest in praying? I read several times in the Bible where He prayed all night. Do you have any interest in praying? Do you think Jesus has any interest in seeing people saved? Do you think He has any interest in seeing people saved? Well, He died for them. Do you? Hey, when a church loses interest in seeing people saved, you know what's happened? Oh, yeah, come and go, come and go, come and go. Yeah, okay. Who cares? Well, I'm telling you, who cares? He cares. And I'm going to tell you something else. If the Holy Spirit's ministry is to make me, since I'm saved, more like Jesus, and I don't care, we got a problem. You think Jesus has any interest in singing praises to God? Do you? Folks, look. This is a foundational. From the beginning, necessary element for building a Christian life. And Paul says, don't quench the Spirit. Don't quench Him. He got you started in this by bringing you to Jesus. Now He wants to make you like Jesus. Don't quench Him. Don't choke Him. Don't stifle Him. Look, folks, I know. I think I know a little bit about this thing. I know 25 years of church services with the same voice. There's going to be a dud. There's been plenty of duds over the years. Maybe this is a dud this morning. I don't know. Thank you. And by the way, I appreciate people who stick through the duds. Oh, man. But service after service, after service after service, you're saved and there's no work. There's no work. None. You really think that's possible? Yet everything's right? Oh, I'm right now. Yeah, right. Brother, the Holy Spirit is like a fire. If a fire swept through this building, it would leave visible, lasting evidence. And when the Holy Ghost sweeps through my life, there's visible, lasting evidence. And when the Holy Ghost sweeps through a church, not with literal fire, symbolic fire, there's visible, lasting evidence. I'm asking us, church, I'm asking you individually, I'm asking us as a church, don't quench the Spirit. Don't quench the Spirit. And the best way to do that corporately is to let the Spirit have His way in your life individually. See, if there's enough of us that are letting the Holy Spirit have His way with us and work in us, you know, there's me and there's you and you and you and you and you and you. And we get together on Sunday, there's enough of us with the Holy Spirit working like a fire in us. You know what? The chances are a whole lot better He'll work in us corporately. Does that make sense to y'all? Yeah. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't quench the Spirit. The Spirit of God, man, deals with you. Don't quench it. Don't quench it individually. Don't quench it corporately. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for listening. Let's bow our heads. I got three questions for you today, and we're done. And this is what we do, okay? Three questions, we're done. So if you just listen for a moment. Now, the first question involves salvation. Are you saved? People, don't try to convince yourself you're saved. Don't let mom or dad tell you that you're saved. Even if you're an adult. Well, dad said, no, are you saved? Is the Spirit of God trying to bring you to Christ for salvation? Are you saved? Is there anybody here? I'm not trying to make you a Baptist. I'm not trying to get your name on the church roll. If you're a member or it doesn't matter. I'm asking you, do you know for sure that you're saved? That's the important question. Is the Spirit of God trying to bring you to Jesus for salvation? Pastor, by an uplifted hand, I am saying that I don't know if I'm saved. I wonder if the Spirit of God is trying to bring me to salvation in Jesus. Who's here this morning? Uplifted hand would say, Pastor, that's me. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand in the air? I'll see it. Take it right back down. Anybody like that? I'm not sure I'm saved. Anybody like that this morning? I'm not sure I'm saved. Side to side, front to back, child, adult, teenage, doesn't matter, member, visitor. I don't know that I'm saved. Number two, then, question, saved people. Okay, back to that. You've been saved, but you've not been baptized. Have you been baptized? Have you followed the Lord Jesus Christ in believer's baptism as the Bible teaches? Pastor, I've been saved, but I've not been biblically baptized. Pray for me. Anybody like that this morning? Would you slip your hand up? I'll pray for you. Anybody like that in the church today? All right, saved people. Is the Spirit of God working in you? Have you quenched Him? Have you put Him out? Are you concerned that possibly, through neglect or carelessness or sin, through an attitude of I don't care, but it concerns you, the Holy Spirit's not active and working in your heart. Pray for me, Pastor. God spoke to my heart this morning about this matter of the Spirit of God working in me. Would you slip your hand up, please, all over the room? God, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. God bless you. Amen. Amen and amen. Lord God and Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll please honor your word today. Try to preach the Bible line upon line, precept upon precept. Would you please move in hearts today? Thank you for hands that were lifted. I pray, God, that your Spirit will work in people and continue to. Pray it will work in us. He will work in us individually. Pray that He will work in us corporately. That we wouldn't quench Him through our sin, our neglect, our carelessness. But that we would let Him sweep through us, Lord, purifying, melting, changing, conforming to the image of Christ. Transforming us to the image of Christ, I should say. So God, may that happen in our lives. And I pray for people in the auditorium today that, Lord, we'd be willing to give ourselves to you, lock, stock, and barrel, not hinder the work of the Holy Spirit, who is in our midst, I believe, again this morning. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Ladies, let's have a song of invitation. If you stepped out this morning to just pray for a few minutes, that would be a good thing. Many, many hands were raised. And I hope that you'll take a minute to honor God by coming. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, honor the Lord this morning. What has God been trying to do? Is God working? Has God been working? Individually, corporately, is the Spirit of God working in your heart this morning? while our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. If you're not saved, the most important thing in life is to get that matter settled first. Above all, saved and know it. Assurance. We'll wait for you this morning. We got somebody to show you from the Bible that beautiful plan of salvation. Or come and pray with these that are praying this morning, asking for God's help. Lord, I need you to work in my life. I need you to work in my home, my heart. Help me, God.